You're listening to Mobile Bunny by Moomoo, demystifying markets one episode at a time. This content is strictly for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be interpreted as a recommendation or investment guidance. Keep in mind that this information is not personalized and should not be the sole basis for your investment decisions, as there may be additional factors to consider.
Welcome to Mobile Money by Moomoo. I'm your host, Justin Zaks, Vice President of Strategy at Moomoo Technologies. I've spent my whole career in and around financial markets. This is a show that helps investors gain a better understanding of markets and their money. You ever watch a business newscast or read a financial article and find it hard to follow? Maybe you can follow the concepts easily enough, but it's the acronyms, slang, jargon, and metaphors that are leaving you overwhelmed and confounded. Don't know preferred stock from livestock? Today, I'm here to help demystify some of these terms so you're better able to understand the world of finance. Accounting, banking, trading, markets generally all have what sometimes seem like a completely different language. I can't cover it all. And while you won't be fluent after listening to this short podcast, if you do listen the entire way through, you'll likely come out and know a lot more than before. A lot of you probably use Moomoo's fundamental analysis tools to evaluate a company's financials. And to do that, you need a lot of understanding of accounting. And there's so many accounting terms out there. So I just want to mention a few so that you do know what they mean. And we can start with the balance sheet. The balance sheet is one of the most important financial statements a company has. And it's basically a snapshot of how what the company has at any point in time. And it's made up of three categories, the assets, liabilities, and equity. And I'll walk you through each of those. And to give you an idea of how it works, it balances out. So the assets are balanced out by the liabilities and equity. The assets are what a company owns, and you can think of that in terms of things like cash, their inventory, their investments, their property and equipment, any vehicles they own, any furniture or patents they may own. The liabilities are what a company owes. So think about their loans they take out, accounts payable. Those are bills that have yet to be paid. Interest payable is interest expense that has already been incurred but not paid. And the equity side, or shareholder equity, is what the shareholders own after you subtract the liabilities from the assets. Another very important financial statement is the income statement, and it tells you what the financial performance of a company was over a specific period. Usually it's over a quarter or over a year. I'm not going to walk you through every single term on the income statement, but I just want to go over two important terms. First is COGS. COGS stands for cost of goods sold, and that's the direct costs of making or producing a particular goods. And that is the labor and the materials, but does not include things like interest or marketing. Another term you'll hear financial experts talk often about is EBITDA, and that's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. So it's a different measure of profitability. It's in that income. And what you're really trying to get with EBITDA is the cash profit generated by the company's operations. You'll often hear EBITDA talked about in terms of a ratio, usually EBITDA to sales ratio, and that's the EBITDA margin. And it basically tells you how much cash that company is generating, and that's for each dollar of revenue before the interest, taxes, amortization, in depreciation. And it's also used in valuation methods. So people will compare it to past EBITDA margins of the same company or perhaps margins of companies in the same competitive landscape. Another ratio you'll hear a lot about often is EBITDA divided by interest expense, or this is your EBITDA coverage ratio. And it measures how many times a company's EBITDA can meet the interest expense payments that will be coming due. And the number of times is also called a turn. So you'll hear this expression from a lot of analysts. You know, how many turns of EBITDA are there for the current interest expense? Another term you'll hear often when people are analyzing stocks is a moat. What is a company's moat? And basically what that means is it's their competitive advantages that protect their profit margins and these EBITDA margins from competitors in their field. And probably, the most well-known would be economies of scale. So if you're the biggest player in a particular space, say you have 60% of the entire space, total addressable market, that's your space, and you're able to produce using economies of scale, meaning you're able to bargain with your suppliers and get better prices, You're able to shift your workers more easily. So basically, you're making the goods for a lower cost than your competitors have because you have so much scale. So this can be a moat. So that's one of various moats, but you hear this term moat very often. Traders and portfolio managers have their own lingo that they use. And let's go through a little bit of that now. I'm not going to go through all of them and I'll just kind of hop around to each of them, but you know, we just want to go through a bunch of them. Let's just start with some of these terms you've probably heard and say, well, what's the difference? And a day trader and a swing trader, what's the difference? A day trader generally means someone that is going to open a position in a stock on a particular day and close it out that very same day. But generally, it just means any trader that's trading very short term. A swing trader is someone that's trading over the intermediate term. That usually means anywhere between probably about 2 or 3 days to about 2 or 3 weeks. It's called a swing trade, where you have an idea for a trade, but you're not in it for the long term. That would be a long-term investor and a different type of trading there. Another thing that can be a bit confusing is stock. People talk about all these different classes of stock. And common stock is the most popular one. It's probably the one you're trading. Common stock gives you ownership, partial ownership in a company and the right to vote to elect its board of directors. Preferred stock, on the other hand, has no voting rights usually, but it does come with a fixed dividend. And it also comes higher up on the chain of bankruptcy. So it's right in between the bonds of the company and the stock. So if a company were to go bankrupt and they had some money left over, the first amount of that money would go to the bondholders, and then it would go and other debt holders, and then it would go to the preferred stock. And then finally, if anything's left over, the common shareholders would get some of that money. One particular type of preferred stock is called convertible preferred stock, and that's convertible into common stock at a fixed conversion ratio after a specific amount of time. So you can get really complicated with these different types of stocks. The other interesting stock that you hear a lot about that's not a class of stock, it's something that you'll hear the media refer to as a blue chip stock. And a blue chip stock generally just means a stock that's been around a long time, has very good financials, has had very good results in the past, is well regarded in its industry, just has a really great reputation. And they're known as blue chip stocks because blue chips had in the past been the highest denomination poker chips. So these are the best of the best, often the companies that are included in indexes such as the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Aside from stocks which represent an interest, a partial interest in a particular company, you'll often hear about ETFs, and those are exchange traded funds. And those basically are a basket of securities you buy and sell through your brokerage firm on a stock exchange. Often, if it is an equity ETF, it will be based upon a particular index. You may know something about stocks, but a lot of times you'll hear people talk about alternative investments and exactly what are alternative investments. But it generally means a category that is not a stock or a bond. And that could be crypto, it could be private equity, it could be commodities. There's a number of different alternative investments. And within that, there's a ton of different fund managers out there that run different strategies. And, you know, obviously just sticking to the stock strategies, I want to go over a few of those. Probably the most well-known funds are called long only. And that just means that they're going to invest in a stock and only buy the stock. That's opposed to a long short fund, which will try to buy undervalued stocks and go long them while selling or short selling overvalued stocks and hoping that they make some type of return neutral of the actual market. Additionally, there are funds called factor funds. And so they try to take an approach to investing, and these are actively managed funds, to tilt towards a certain characteristics of stocks. They might want to invest in stocks they think are part of the value factor or low volatility or high volatility or momentum stocks. They might be looking at stocks that have great momentum or low momentum. So there's all these different factors, and there's all these different types of funds that specialize in some of these factors. Another type of fund you'll hear about is arbitrage funds. So an arbitrage fund basically tries to purchase a particular asset in a certain market and sell the same asset in another market at the same time, at a higher price. And sometimes they're not doing it in exactly the same asset. It may be a particular underlying and a derivative. Sometimes arbitrage is used in M&A transactions. So there's all different types of arbitrage funds. When measuring these funds, there's two Greek terms a lot of people will use. And so I want, and boy, do traders love to use these Greeks, especially options traders. But the first one's alpha. Alpha basically refers to the excess returns above a certain benchmark when adjusted for risk. So if a fund is trying to outperform the S&P 500 with the same amount of risk, any outperformance they had would be called their alpha. The other term you'll hear a lot is beta. And beta basically is a number that tells you how much more or less a stock will move compared to the regular market. So if you have stock of XYZ and it moves two times as much every time the market moves, it would have a beta of two. And sometimes you can have a negative beta. So if the market goes up, maybe there are certain assets or stocks that will go down. It would have a negative beta in that case. Negative beta stocks are extremely rare, but sometimes you will see them in the energy or commodity space, where in an area where if energy prices go up tremendously, the economy may suffer, but those companies themselves may do pretty well. And then you have the trading itself. And one distinction I'll draw here is you'll often hear people talk about floor trading versus OTC trading. So let me explain a little bit about those differences. Floor trading happens on a trading floor, and that's in-person trading, and it happens in a trading pit. And the pit is generally somewhat circular in nature, and it's raised on the edges, just like you would think a pit would be. And basically, the idea there is everyone is able to face each other and execute trades with each other. They were able to see each other better, and the people obviously don't want to be on a flat plane, so people stand slightly higher as you go up from the middle of the pit so that they can see each other better. And obviously, if you're taller, it gives you somewhat of an advantage that everyone can see you better. That type of trading is called open outcry, as opposed to OTC or over-the-counter. It's just electronic trading, and all of this trading is done via a computer. Traders will often talk about the bid on a stock. That's the price they're willing to buy a stock at, and the ask on a stock, and that's the price they're willing to sell. And so when they're ready to buy, they say mine, and when they're ready to sell, they say yours. And those are some of the basic terminologies you might hear from a lot of traders. Banking also has a lot of its own jargon and terms. And one that I've talked about a lot in some of these other podcasts and some of my other webinars and live speaking engagements is compound interest. And compound interest basically helps your savings grow faster over time. So basically what happens is as you begin to save, you earn interest on that money, and then you take that interest and reinvest it, and it earns interest on itself. So it basically compounds. And so when you're measuring this, you can measure compound interest with something called an annual percentage yield. And you'll hear a lot of people talk about that, APY. Basically, that's your effective rate of return for 1 year when you take that compound interest into account. Specifically, investment bankers also have a lot of jargon and acronyms that may be difficult to understand at first. You'll hear people talk a lot about M&A. And so M&A just stands for mergers and acquisitions. And a lot of investment bankers specialize in this particular department. And merger, basically, you have two separate companies coming together to combine to make one new joint company, while a takeover would be one company acquiring another company. And one of these ways would be a leverage buyout. And so this is the idea that the acquiring company would borrow a lot of money to acquire the takeover candidate. And oftentimes, this can be a risky process depending how much is borrowed. Sometimes companies don't want to be taken over, so they might institute something called a poison pill. A lot of people have heard that and wonder exactly what that is. It's basically a shareholder rights plan, and it gives the board of directors the rights to buy stock very cheap if a company that wants to acquire them, or a fund, or any prospective buyer wants to come in and buys too much of the stock. So usually this is like somewhere around 5, 10, 15% of the company. If someone goes over that threshold, then it becomes very difficult to buy the rest of the entire company on the open market. On the other hand, companies often don't want to sell, but they are swayed by a very good offer. And sometimes those offers are so good and so ridiculously good, you can't turn them down from a fiduciary standpoint. And so a lot of times those offers are known as Godfather offers. And that comes from the 1970s movie, The Godfather, where he made him an offer he couldn't refuse. And this is an idea that comes up in M&A sometimes. At some point, you do get such a good offer for your company that it would be irresponsible to turn that offer down. Another area investment bankers are involved in is taking a company public for the first time. And often you'll hear that term IPO, and that just stands for initial public offering. That's the first time a company sells its shares to the public, as opposed to a secondary offering, which doesn't mean it has to be exactly second, but any other time after a company's public, a company wants to raise more money by selling shares. That would be what is called a secondary offering. There are other ways also to go public, and probably one of the most famous ones in recent years has been something called a SPAC, S-P-A-C. SPAC stands for Special Purpose Acquisition Companies, and these companies go IPO, or they have their IPO, but they are just basically a shell company, and then a merger is done, or there's an acquisition of a publicly traded company. A lot of times from a regulatory standpoint and from an accounting standpoint, it's easier to go public via a SPAC transaction. One other term in M&A and in other areas that often gets confused is when people talk about an analyst. So if you're an investment banking analyst, this is actually the lowest level of employee straight out of college, professional level. So once you have your undergraduate degree, you go work for a bank, investment bank, and you will become an analyst. These analysts usually have a 2 or 3 year track, and then they're promoted to associate. Whereas in market research, the analyst is kind of the opposite. It's the highest level person usually. It's the person that makes all the analyst coverage ratings and makes all the decisions about how a bank rates a particular stock or a particular sector. That's called an analyst on the research side. So it's important to understand the difference between those two analysts. Quite different. One thing I've noticed is the investment community loves to talk about animals. There seems like there is some type of jargon or metaphor for so many different animals out there. So let's get into a little bit of that. Probably the most famous are the bulls and the bears. And when people talk about a bull market, it usually means an overall stock market that has advanced 20%, and a bear market is the opposite, a market which has fallen 20% or more. But it can be applied to an individual stock, but usually for a market overall. But more often, you'll hear the term used as someone saying they are bullish, just means that they think the market will go up, and someone is bearish, they think the market or a particular stock will go down. There are whales and fish. Whales are big players in the markets. Think the people that move the markets, that make the big decision, that trade the big size. And then there are fish. And these are usually smaller investors that may be, quote, fish out of water in the idea that they might not be savvy enough to be trading. And some people take advantage of them. And those people that take advantage of them are called the wolves. Fish are also known as sheep. And then if you take it back to the fishing analogy, there's all this idea of bottom fishing. And then that means once a stock has fallen enough, it may now be undervalued and you want to fish at the bottom and try to pick something out that's undervalued. There are pigs, and those are investors that maybe have let their profits run too far and are not taking profits or are at risk of a major downturn. And there are chickens, people that and investors that couldn't pull the trigger and get into the market or get into a stock at a particular time, and it may have missed out. In the world of central banking, there are hawks and doves. The hawks are usually in favor of raising interest rates and a general tighter monetary policy to curb inflation, and doves are the opposite. You'll hear that a lot with comments related to the Federal Reserve Bank. There is a dead cat bounce, and I don't know if cats actually bounce or how that came about, but it's an idea that if a stock falls precipitously very quickly, and maybe for a very good reason that its prospects are no longer very good, at some point it will bounce back up, meaning it will go back up a little bit, rarely ever back to where it was, but that bounce will be very short-lived and the stock will eventually fade back down and may reach what some traders call bagel land. That's the big zero. Stocks that haven't done well or underperform are called dogs. Stocks that don't that have underperformed, but without an obvious reason, maybe a hidden reason, they're called dogs with fleas. Unicorns are startups valued at $1 billion or more because of their rarity, although they're not as rare as they used to be. A cash cow is a stock that's been around a long time, has a good market share, but low growth prospects, but it can be milked for its cash. A black swan is an event in markets, usually a extremely negative event like a market crash that is very difficult or impossible to predict. For instance, the stock market crash of 1987 or the recent housing crash of 2008. A white swan event is a similarly negative event that is easier or very easy to predict. Beyond animals, there also seems to be an affinity for tools, hand tools in trading jargon. An axe is an individual usually willing to transact a trade at a worse than mid level. So they are willing to buy on the offer or sell on the ask, often to offload an exposure. This is a term that's usually used in the bond market. You'll hear the expression catch a falling knife, and that basically means the idea that if a stock is going down relatively quickly and you go to buy it, it's not necessarily a good idea because it could drop even further. And so the idea is not good to catch a falling knife because you may get cut, you may get hurt. And then you also have a hammer. So a hammer in trading is a candlestick pattern that indicates a possible market reversal trend. One trading strategy that's a nefarious strategy that's been around a long time is called the pump and dump. And this is a boiler room type strategy. Usually you would see a brokerage firm that is not very well known calling up all their clients to tell them to buy some type of very small penny stock or at least a stock that is not very well known. And this is after the firm itself or someone related to the firm bought up a lot of the shares. These clients would then buy the stock and create kind of a stampede to the upside, at which point and that's called the pump, at which point the original investors that are affiliated with the brokerage would then dump their shares. This strategy has now moved online, and you'll see various levels of this strategy even employed by some of the very well-known investors. So I will tell you to beware when some of these famous investors, you see them on TV, and they have an agenda. So think about this when they say they have exited a trade, they like a particular stock. They've probably already gotten in. They're probably not in the process of buying a lot of that stock. They're probably already in by the time they tell you they like a particular stock or they don't like a particular stock. The online community and social media and Reddit boards have really fostered some of their own acronyms and financial jargon in the last decade or two. So I just thought it would be neat to go over some of those. The one I hear often is FOMO, and that's a fear of missing out. And that term has become very popular among a lot of internet traders. And it's the idea that if everyone else is doing something, you want to get involved. So oftentimes with stocks, it might not be at the best time. So, when people first start talking about it, you might not get in. But then once a stock starts going up a lot, that's when that fear of missing out, that psychological trend kicks in. And it may not be the most opportune time from a valuation perspective to get into that. And a lot of times these Reddit boards call stocks stonks. Particularly for stocks that exhibit, a big price move up or a big price move down that are very volatile. The whole idea of a herd mentality is also very popular on the internet. They call it apes together strong. That's from the movie Planet of the Apes. And so a lot of these traders that are on the Reddit boards, they like to call themselves apes. And they have what are called diamond hands or a very high risk tolerance. And they're going to hold despite significant losses. The term you also hear is HODL or H-O-D-L, hold on for dear life. The opposite of this would be someone that has paper hands. Many of these traders make lots of tendies or profits, but a lot of them become bag holders, which means they lose all their money because there's no money left in those bags. They're just left holding the bag. Many of these diamond hand traders describe their philosophy as YOLO, or you only live once. The idea that you want to take that money and go ahead and invest it, and you don't care if you lose it all. It's a very risky strategy. They're often looking for stocks that are going to the moon, or you'll often hear the term parabolic use. These are stocks that may be running up and going up faster than their actual operational fundamentals would normally indicate. On the opposite side, you'll hear people talk about tanking, and that's when a stock falls precipitously. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast about the various financial jargon and acronyms and slang that's out there. And if you have enjoyed it, please let us know in the comments on Spotify or on Apple, whether you liked it or not, what you might want to hear more about regarding this topic. Until next week, this is Justin Zacks. Thank you.
The opinions expressed are those of the host and any guest speaker and not necessarily those of Moomoo Technologies, Inc. or its affiliates. The podcast is provided for informational and educational purposes only and is not a recommendation or endorsement of any particular investment or investment strategy that may be mentioned or covered in the podcast. All investments involve risk and the loss of principal as possible. Past performance does not indicate or guarantee future success. Moomoo is not affiliated with any outside guests or their companies. Information provided in this podcast is general in nature and may not be appropriate for all investors. The Moomoo app is an online trading platform offered by Moomoo Technologies, Inc. Securities, brokerage products, and related services available through the Moomoo app are offered by Moomoo Financial, Inc., a member of FINRA, SIPC.